Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. When you think of the awesomeness of God, what comes to your mind? Think about that for a second. Our God is an awesome God. All right, now talk to me. What do you think of when you think of the awesomeness of God? Creation, the galaxies, crazy, His sovereignty, He is everlasting, unending love. How about the fact that He can hear every single prayer all at the same time? And we matter just as much to Him as anybody else. We are so precious to Him. Anything else? All right, let's sing. Awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. You guys ready to sing this? God is great, give Him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in His eyes, healing in His veins. Everywhere His glory on display. Take a look at the stars, He can name them all. Before His throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to praise. Even the wind and the waves obey. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Even when I ran, He didn't run away. He came and put death back in its place. Friday on the cross, broken for my shame. Sunday morning rose up from that grave. Take a look at those scars on His hands and feet. He saved our souls for eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, glory to the King. Oh, let all the saints and the angels sing. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Eyes on the sky, there will be a day. He will come and wipe our tears away. No more fear, no more pain, no more sorrow, sin, or shame. The King is coming back again. A reign of love that will never end. For everything you've done, and everything you do, and everything you are, I'll sing to You. My God, You're an awesome God, You're great. In all You do, I'm made to worship You, my God. You're an awesome God. Oh, what an awesome, awesome God You are. Forever we'll sing, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom. awesome power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God, what an awesome God.
Amen. Amen. He is an awesome God. It was fun to hear you guys singing that. You're getting into it. We've done enough times. You know it now. That's good. Today's a good day. It's God's day. It's God's day, and he's here with us, right? Amen. This place is filling up, and we're lifting our praises up to him. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, I don't know if you noticed, but it's like a dude day up here. Like, it's all guys. Like, that's not, like, by conviction. Ladies are welcome to be up here, too. Actually, Deanna was supposed to be here, and she locked her keys out of her house and her car. She's, like, outside, and, like, she was kind of stuck waiting for her mom to show up from, like, an hour away this morning. But anyway, if some of you guys are new here and you're musical, like, you play the piano or you sing, stuff like that, there's openings. There's openings. So we'd love to have more folks jump into the rotation. You don't have to sing every week. Deanna, I just talked about you. She made it. She made it. All right. Well, we're going to keep on singing, guys, and we're going to sing this song. This is a request. Somebody requested this, and I won't say who because I tend to embarrass people when I do that. But this is one we haven't done in a little while. It's called Still Rolling Stones. God is powerful, amen? And Rolling Stones is like bringing life from death, and God does that. He's doing that in our lives. He's doing that in this place, bringing life from death. So let's remember the power of God. Out of the shadows, bound for the gallows, a dead man walking, till love came calling. Rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
6 feet under, I thought it was over, an answer to prayer, the voice of a savior. Oh, rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
All at once I came alive. This beating heart and these open eyes. The grave let go. The darkness should have known. You're still rolling stones. Oh, oh. You're still rolling stones. Now that you saved me, I sing cause you gave me a song of revival. It's my survival. Oh, rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
I once was blinded, but now I see it. I heard about the power, now I believe it. Oh, rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
All at once I came alive. This beating heart and these open eyes. The grave let go, the darkness should. I thought that I was too far gone for everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. You called my name. I thought that I was too far gone. Everything I've done wrong. Yeah,
I'm the one who dug this grave. But you called my name. You called my name. All at once I came.
Praise God. Let's pray together. God, we are so happy that you love us and that we can be here and sing these songs that are true. You're still rolling stones. Gravestones are rolling away as our hearts are opening up and we are coming alive. God, you're doing that in individuals. You're doing that in churches. God, bring life out of death. And we need that. There are places where we're struggling, places where we're hurting, places where we need your power and your touch. And so we pray that you'll invade our hearts, invade our lives, even where maybe we're not ready for you to invade, God, that you'd come in. Because when you come in, you make things better. You make things whole. You bring healing. You bring life. So God, we are so thankful that we get to sing to an awesome God, the God who gave his life, sent his son to die so we could have life, so we could be here today and sing these true songs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, good to sing with you guys. It's good to hear you singing. We have a question of the day, so everybody's kind of starting to sit down. But there's a question of the day. Here it is. We're talking about waiting a little bit today. So what are you most likely to do when you have a few minutes to wait for something? When you have a few minutes to wait, what are you most, and you probably pull out your phone, like which app are you most likely to go to? Or maybe you do something else. Share your answer to that question, and kids third grade and under are invited to head downstairs to their classes. All right. Let me hear a couple answers. Where are you most likely to, what are you most likely to do when you got a few minutes? Take a nap. Yeah, I got 3 minutes. I'm out. I did that in school, man. I had a 4 minute gap between classes. I was out cold. If I didn't have to go to another class, I slept. What else?
Marketplace.
Yeah, that's kind of mine. Yeah. It just knows what I want. It knows what I'm interested in. Ooh, click that. What else?
Solitaire.
There you go. Just got to see those things bounce, 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 bounce.
YouTube.
It knows what you want, too. It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, I think as a culture, American people are just... Waiting is a virtue, right? We are just really good at waiting. Don't you think? Guys? Yeah, people get mad when they got to wait sometimes. But have you ever had to wait for something, like, important for a really long time? Like, something significant? Like, this is causing me pain. I have to turn on my clicker. Like...
You had to wait for something a long time? Or like, God isn't coming through like you thought he was going to do, and you've been asking for something for a really long time, and it's not going the way you wanted it to? That happens to us, right? I do have permission to share this. I'm going to talk about my daughter today a little bit. My oldest daughter, her name is Abby, and she saw this whole thing. I sent her the whole sermon. She's like, wow, okay, you have permission. So what she said wow about was, I can read that a lot faster than you can deliver it. It was, okay. So anyway, Abby is a middle school math teacher outside of Harrisburg. This is her second year, and her first year she decided, you know what, I can afford it. I'm going to get an apartment on my own. Like, I just want to do that. I've been in the college scene for a long time. Just want to have some solitude. Like, she values that, craves that. But after a year, she was like, you know what, it would be kind of nice to have a roommate. And not just any roommate. So she was praying about that, and a good friend of her agreed, like, you know what, I think it would work out. I think it would work out for me to move in. She was looking for a job, and she kept looking for a job, and she kept looking for a job, and she couldn't find a job. In the medical field, like, there's a lot of jobs in the med, but she could not land a job. So she had a kind of a hard conversation with Abby the other day, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. And this was in the, this was like a deal, like they were going to do it. And so like this disappointment, like, I thought I had a roommate coming. I've been looking forward to this for months, and now it's not happening. And just big disappointment. It seemed like a really good thing for both of them. Like, why not? Why is God saying no about that? Does God have something else in mind? Well, apparently he does, but what that is, nobody knows. And that's hard, and that's frustrating, because she thought she had a roommate. And now she doesn't. So that's my daughter. What about you? Like, are you waiting on God for something right now? Like, maybe you've got something in your past, like, man, that was really hard. But what about right now? Is there something like, I really wish God would? Do you have something? You're gonna get more out of our time together if there's something like that in your mind. And most of us have, and maybe you're not thinking of it, and later you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's one. Well, my personal example is kind of a church example. Cornerstone has been, we've been growing in a lot the last several months, and that's really good. And some Sundays, this is one of our fuller Sundays. Like, people come in, they're like, I'm not sure where I'm going to sit. And we got a couple free rows up here in the front. That's always the case, right? But we've been filling up, so we started looking around, like, are there other churches that would want to get into an arrangement like this? And it's working out really well here, so maybe another church would want to do it. So we kind of thought about it, looked around. We reached out to St. Paul's UCC, and they took us around. The president of their consistory was like, yeah, this would be great, and we got to clear it through everybody else and all that. But took us around. We had some meetings, had some conversations, talked to some people, thought about the logistics, and it seemed really, really good. Last Sunday, their leadership was like, let's have a meeting. Let's call the congregation in. They had a big, big old meeting, a big old conversation discussion, and they took a vote at the end. And their vote was that. We don't wanna. Like, what? What's wrong with us? Why not? Yeah. It's disappointing. It seemed like looking at all the churches in town, like parking and all the different details, that seemed like the best option. And they really take good care of their churches, like cleaning stuff. So like, that's good. But they said no. And there's some reasons. They have some reasons. But God knows better than we do. I thought, next step, makes sense. Let's do this. God knows better than we do. So we're going to keep looking. We're going to keep waiting and keep trusting God has something else. And it might be staying here. It may be, I don't know, add three more chairs? I don't know. Maybe we have to have two circles. We've talked about different things. But anyway, we're waiting on that. Genesis chapter 16 is where we're going to be today. And these two people, Abram and Sarai, had been waiting on God for 10 years. 10 years they've been waiting. God promised them a child. So I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you a child, and that child's going to become a nation. And at the time God made the promise, Sarai, the wife, was 65 years old. Kind of old. God, you might want to move this along here. And now it's been 10 years. So now you math whizzes. How old is Sarai now? 75, not a trick question. She's 75 years old. I'm not going to have any 75-year-olds all come up to the front. Okay, let's get a look at you. This is what you look like when you're 75. You want to have a child? No. She still doesn't have a child. What is going on? God made a promise, but he doesn't seem to be delivering. And it's kind of getting to the point where it's borderline crazy to believe God anymore. Like, I don't think so. This is not happening. I must have had too much pizza that night or something. This must not have been God. He's not showing up. He's not giving the promise. If I told my kids I was going to help them pay for college, which we have committed to them, and we never gave them any money, that would be pretty frustrating, right? If my daughter made it to her senior year and we promised to give her this much money and we didn't give her any of that, what's going on? What are you doing? That's kind of confusing. If you told your kids, if you had kids, we're going to go on a really special adventure and we're going to go someday, somewhere fun and exciting. That's kind of hard to latch onto if you don't know when, don't know where, don't have any details. So God made a promise, a specific promise, you're going to have a baby, and he's not delivering. So what is God up to? Well, Abram and Sarai are people of faith. They believe God is going to give them a child. They believe, but they struggle. But they start to wonder, maybe there's something else we need to do to make this happen. Maybe we missed something. What might that be? After 10 years of waiting, Sarai comes up with an idea. And we find that in Genesis 16, verse 1. So if you brought a Bible or you want to use the Bible app, Genesis 16, we're just going to look at the first six verses today. I was going to cover the whole chapter. I'm not going to cover the whole chapter. We'll do the second part because there's a really, I kind of like the second part even better than the first, but this first part's good too. So chapter 16, Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Best idea I've ever heard, right? I'm kidding. If you don't know me, I'm sarcastic sometimes. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. All right, so make sure you're tracking here. Sarai suggests, let's try Hagar. Maybe she can produce a child for us. And we're in our culture today. We're not in that culture then. So before you get all bent out of shape about it, you need to know that kind of thing is something they would do back then. If a family of means was barren and they had servants, they could actually enlist a servant to bear a child for them. That was a thing. And then they could continue the family name. So that was acceptable. That's how things were. But is that what God intended for them? Is that part of the promise? I'm going to give you a child. By the way, God used Hagar to do it. Like, he didn't say anything about that. And as they come up with this idea, you might notice they didn't ask him. They came up with this plan on their own. And I keep reading and we'll quickly see from the get-go, this was a bad idea. Continue on, verse 4. He slept with Hagar, she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Strong words, strong words. Abram steps back a little. "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai, listen to this, Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. So Abram takes Hagar as his second wife, at his first wife's request. She quickly becomes pregnant, proving he's not the one with the fertility problem. And Hagar begins to despise Sarai. Now, I would think Sarai would be the one despising Hagar. That's how what makes sense in my head. All those years trying to have a child, and here Hagar goes in and immediately becomes pregnant. That's frustrating. Sarai's plan worked, but I'm not sure it was super satisfying to her. But why would Hagar despise Sarai? Why would she despise her boss, you might say, or now her co-wife? Maybe was it kind of an arrogant attitude, superiority? Got a baby, you don't. Yeah, I don't know, but one of the folks on my sermon study team mentioned, so Hagar was having this baby for Sarai, right? And Hagar's gonna be part of the family. She'll have a hand in raising this child, but it wasn't really technically gonna be hers. Verse 2, Sarai said, "Perhaps I can build a family through her." So you got a woman taking the child of another woman. I think I can understand why she might despise her. I'm having this child, I'm going through all this stuff, and he's gotta hand over to you and give this child your name. It makes sense. So now we've got some serious tension in the family. Like, things are not going well. There's some conflict. It's not comfortable. And that is what happens when you add another wife to the mix, okay? This is not a good plan. God knows marriage is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing, but too much of a good thing can become a bad thing, right? So marry one person, that's good. Marry two people, not good. Free advice for you guys, right? So Sarai turns on Abram at this point. "This is your fault, Abram. I gave you my servant. And now she's turning on me. So fix it. Fix it, Abram." So Abram probably wisely favors his first wife, his angry wife, over his newest wife, and basically makes her back into Sarai's servant. And Sarai promptly beats her. Verse 6 says she mistreated Hagar. And we don't have all the details about that, but pay attention. It was bad enough for Hagar to run for her life into the desert as a pregnant woman. This is an ugly scene in our patriarchal forefathers' history. This is ugly. How did this mess happen? Abram and Sarai are not the shining stars of perfect faith that some would later revere them as. Take away the halo. Right? This is a mess right now. Abram and Sarai have taken matters into their own hands. They're trying to help God fulfill his promise. And so now at this moment, what they think is the promised child inside of Hagar's womb is now out in the desert at serious risk. And Sarai beat the woman who had the child in her. Not okay. So this is what's going on. Kind of disturbing, kind of troublesome. And so, like, we're looking at the Bible like, okay, let's learn some lessons here. If things don't go well, one, grab a second wife and, like, let's try to do what it... No, that's not... What kind of lesson can we learn from what's going on here? How about this, for starters? When God makes a promise, God keeps a promise. When God makes a promise, God keeps the promise. Is that God? Is that our faithful God that we sang about? Our God is an awesome God, and he does whatever he cares about. He doesn't care about you and your whatever. Like, no, when he makes a promise, he keeps a promise. We don't have to keep it for him. This child was not the child God had promised. That baby was yet to come. Now, God's still going to bless this child. We'll get to that. But this was not the child of promise. This was a child outside of God's promise who came through the forced hand of Sarai and the go along with it spirit of Abram. It's a bad idea from the beginning. And I don't know if you noticed this the first time through. Sarai blamed God for this initially. Did you see that in verse 2? Right? How does she frame her idea to Abram? The Lord has kept me from having children. Your fault. We got to figure something out now because you haven't come through. Go sleep with my maidservant Hagar. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And also, Abram doesn't resist. You want me to take another wife? Sounds good to me. Sure. She's younger too. He didn't resist. But also remember this, right? We've been going through this story. On multiple occasions, God has personally appeared to Abram and Sarai to tell them about this promise, about this child. They had verbal face-to-face conversations with God about it, yet we don't see any of that here. Abram doesn't say to Sarai, you know, that sounds like maybe an okay idea. I have a little reservation about it, but how about we ask Yahweh, see what he thinks? It's not there. They don't consult the originator of the promise. They simply come up with their own way to help him out. And I think we can see where they're coming from, right? I mean, they did wait 10 years. That's kind of a long time for a 65-year-old woman and a 75-year-old man. They did kind of wait a long time, but we have to understand, we don't need to help God keep his promises. When God makes a promise, God keeps a promise. So I wanna think about, okay, back to today, right? You've been thinking about Abram and Sarah. That was a really long time ago. But I also ask you, is there something you're waiting on God about? Something that's not going the way you'd want it to be going? That you've been praying about, you've talked to God about, you've tried to make something happen, and it's not. Think about your journey with God. How do we know if we're not making the same mistake that Abram and Sarai made? How do you know the difference? Here's a question. How do you know the difference between taking responsibility for your part and taking over for God? What's the difference? How do you know? Are we just supposed to sit back? Okay, God, bring it in. Bring it in. You say you'll provide for me, so I got this lazy boy here. I'm just going to sit back and check the mail. See when the check comes in. Like, we have responsibility, right? We have responsibility. So how do you know the difference between taking responsibility for your part and taking over for God? My daughter's waiting for a roommate. I'm looking for a new place for Cornerstone. You're waiting for what? Don't say it out loud, but how do you know the difference? Let me give you a few ideas. And these are in your program. You can fill in the blanks if you want. You're probably guilty of taking over for God when you're not talking to God about it. Prayerlessness. If you're not talking to God about it, that's a huge red flag. It's not wrong to take action steps. It's not wrong to do some things, to take responsibility. But if you're not talking to God about it, you're probably taking over for him. Now, maybe you've been there. There are multiple reasons we could be there. Maybe I talked to God about it for 16 years and still nothing is happening. I don't know why that was so funny. You young people are laughing 16 years. That's like a lifetime. Some of you are older than that. It's not a lifetime. But sometimes there's disappointment. I did trust God. I tried that. So maybe you're angry with him. Maybe you're doubting that he cares. I prayed before, nothing happened. But when you stop talking to God about something, you stop walking with God. And he's still there. He'll wait for you, but he doesn't force himself. He's not going to force himself on anybody. So, probably taking over for God when you stop talking to God about it. You're probably taking over for God when you're reluctant to talk to other people about it. Right? If you're not interested in talking about something with spiritually mature people, you're like, nah, I think I want to keep that over here. Probably heading down the wrong path. So there's prayerlessness and there's communitylessness. We got to have people in our lives, people that are more mature maybe than we are, people who have some experience, people who have been walking with God. We've got to have people we can talk to about stuff. Abram and Sarah, I should have maybe got some advice from other godly people. Now, I have a positive example to share. This is where someone did not do this bad thing. They did not fall into this hole. I was super encouraged. I met up with a young unmarried couple yesterday by video chat. Like, they don't go to this church. Like, so who is it? The small churches are like, I think I know who it is. No, you don't know who it is, okay? You don't know who it is. You don't know who it is. My wife knows who it is, but no, don't. There was texting in. Who is? Anyway, this young couple recently put their trust in Jesus. They've been living together for a while. They have a child, and yet God is getting a hold of them and bringing them under conviction. Like, this arrangement isn't God's intent. They're recognizing that. So they reached out to me and be like, we want to talk about this because it's kind of a complicated situation that's kind of complex. It's a little bit it's hard to untangle. So they wanted to meet and talk about it. That's like, they're looking for some advice. What do you think we should do with this complex situation? So we had a really, really good conversation. And as I'm listening to them, and even with their desire from the get-go, they're recognizing we haven't been in line with God in our relationship. We want to get in line with God. So I'm seeing this clear evidence that Jesus isn't just their Savior, He's also their Lord. And that's walking with God, not taking over for Him. We'll figure out a way. We'll figure it out on our own. Got to bend the rules a little bit, you know, but this is our situation. We don't have to force God's hand. We don't have to violate His principles in order to get what He wants for us. So, not talking to God about it, reluctant to talk to others about it. Here's another one. You're probably taking over for God when you're avoiding or ignoring God's word and His wisdom. If you've got wordlessness in your life, you're kind of avoiding God's word, you're not regularly spending time with God here, like absorbing His wisdom and His insight and just being close to God, that's not a sign of working together with God. If you remove yourself from God's wisdom, that's going to affect your decision-making skills. And I have given people warnings in the past, like if you're not walking close to God right now, you don't want to make significant decisions. There are times we're not happy with how things are. We want to make decisions. But if you're not spending time with God, you're spiritually weak. That's not a good place to make decisions. And I was counseling with a pastor friend a while back. This is a while back. Who was just really discouraged in his ministry. He wanted to quit. He wanted out. But he wasn't in a healthy place spiritually. And that in itself might be a reason to not be a pastor, maybe. But it's also not a good time to make big decisions. And even pastors go through ups and downs, and even pastors struggle too. So I just encourage him, you gotta move close to God. You gotta spend time in Scripture, not just to prepare a sermon, but to be close to God. You gotta move closer to God. You gotta get spiritually healthy before you make that decision. It might be the right decision, but we don't know yet. Because you're spiritually weak right now. And that was my counsel to him, and I said that multiple times, and sadly, I'm not really convinced he took that advice seriously. And a few months later, he did leave the church. Another angle on this one about ignoring or avoiding God's word, His wisdom, when you stop listening to God, it's not the only voice out there. You're opening yourself up to other voices. If you ever watched Tom and Jerry, some of you seen Tom and Jerry, right? If you're younger, you can go look that up later. Guys, that other voice isn't going to lead you anywhere good. We got to let the good shepherd guide us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So one more, you're probably taken over for God when you're experiencing significant worry and anxiety about it, about this thing that you're waiting for. So don't get me wrong, that it'd be overly simplistic to say, this is the only reason you'll ever experience worry and anxiety. I know why you're worried. I know why you're anxious. It's because of this. Not always. But God has given you the ability to experience worry and anxiety for a reason. It's a warning light on the dashboard of your soul. Something's off. And if you're not talking to God, if you're not willing to bring godly people into it, if you're avoiding God's word and his wisdom and kind of not really close to him, anxiety and worry are God's kindness to you. It's like your internal navigation system saying, turn around when possible. 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 How many times are you going to have to say it? Turn around when possible. I only have it once in my notes. So my daughter Abby's friend is probably not going to be her roommate. And my daughter could get really sad about that. She could get anxious about that. I'm never going to get a roommate. I'm going to be alone. She could get angry. She could try to pressure this girl into keeping her promise. Whatever, but maybe God has something else in mind that she didn't know about. You remember, if you were here, remember we talked about God's promises to us, some significant promises that are ours? I think she needs to hold on to those promises right now. One of them, I will be with you. These are God's promises. I will be with you in this. And by the way, life is going to be hard sometimes. It's not always going to go the way you hope it will or want it to. Another promise. But God, I'm going to work good out of whatever it is you're going through. Hold on to that. Abby can hang on to those promises. And start to look for what else does God have in mind. She doesn't know God's plans for her. I don't know God's plans for her. I don't know God's plans for me. But she does know she can trust God. She knows that. And while she continues without a permanent roommate, she has flexibility. She could take in other people, which she's actually doing right now. They're one of her friends, needed a place to stay. She's getting married in the near future, so she's staying with my daughter right now. And she also found out there's another situation where another one of her friends, the situation's unfolding, it's really not good, and a different friend might need a place to stay. Guys, we have to hold our plans loosely because they might not be God's plans. Hands open, not closed. Hands open. You know, I thought St. Paul's is going to be a great next step for our church. Seemed great. A couple of red flags, but mostly fine. The room that we'd be in was a good bit bigger than this one, but not huge. It wouldn't swallow us. And we'd already worked through a bunch of logistic details with our own people and their people and all that. And yet, answer's no. Answer's no. Now, if you know me, some, how many of you have known me for more than a year? More than a year? Okay. Those of you who know me know I need to be really careful when I get in situations like that. Because my tendencies keep pushing for my plan. No. You think no right now, but no. The answer is actually yes. You just haven't figured it out yet. Let's find a workaround here. Let's offer more rent. Let's talk to those naysayers. Who are those people anyway? Give me a list. I'm going to meet up with those people, with my deacons. But you can ask Ann. She's in the back row back there. You can ask her. When I get a no answer, what I actually hear is, well, you can't do it that way, but there's probably another way. You just need to find it. No doesn't sound like no to me. It doesn't. I don't hear it that way. And sometimes that can be a strength, right? Not giving up. It's resourceful, right? But it's not always a strength. Sometimes it's annoying. And if it's forcing God's hand, that's a problem. St. Paul said, no. And guess what? That's okay. I'm not going to say it loudly. But I'll say it quietly. It's okay. It doesn't mean push harder. It means keep looking, keep trusting. I don't have a specific word from God about this, like Abram and Sarah had. Maybe he wants to stay here for a while longer. This is a good arrangement. It's good. It really is. You guys heard Pastor Bud from the other church share last week. We are a blessing to them, and they're a blessing to us. As long as God wants us here, we need to be here. We just don't want to get to the place where people who come don't have a place to sit. And we still have three rows open. Welcome to Cornerstone. Come to the front. That's right. We don't want people starting deciding, I'm not going to come in person because there might not be space. There's live stream. Let's just do that. We don't want to get there, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. So I need to not freak out about that. Right? We're all waiting on God for something. Being called maybe to trust him about something specific in our lives, right? For me right now, one of those things is church location. I got some family stuff too. And maybe you've got a bunch of things in your mind. I'm waiting for this and this and this and this and this and this, and I need more fingers. But what is it kind of a main one for you? Get in your mind. And I asked you at the beginning, is there something that you're waiting on God for? And quite a few of you said yes. I just want to ask you to do something right now. If you've got something in your head, and I will not ask you to share it, but would you be willing to stand up right now? To let us see that we're not alone. And if you haven't thought of anything, that's okay. This doesn't have to be everybody stand up or you feel like a dirt. No, but if you got something, I'm waiting on God. Just stand up for a minute. And I want to talk to you guys. And if something comes to your mind, you're like, oh yeah, actually, I thought of something. Just pop up if something comes to your mind. But I want to do something with you guys. I'm not going to ask you to come up. Just stay right where you are and keep your knees bent so you don't buckle and, you know, pass out or anything, okay? I know. It's awkward to stand up right now. We're not singing. But we talked about four evidences that we might be taking over for God, right? What if we take those things and flip them upside down? Those four things, right? So instead of kind of giving God the silent treatment, not talking to God about stuff, feeling like we're kind of by ourselves on our own, what if we commit to prayerfulness about that thing? I'm gonna bring this to God on a regular basis. I'm gonna talk to God about that. What if instead of keeping the conversation in our own heads, avoiding those people who might have some wisdom for us, what if we commit to talking to other wise, godly people about it? You know what? I need to have a conversation with somebody about this. And what if instead of getting so caught up in that thing, we stop making time to be in God's word? We just can't even do it. What if we commit, I'm going to spend even more time in God's word during this uncertain season? We need his wisdom more during these seasons than less. What if we decide, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to spend more time in God's word until I can be okay with whatever God's answer might be. Until I'm okay with whatever the answer is. And what if instead of being consumed with anxiety and constant worry, what if we commit, every time I feel that, I'm going to give it back to God again. I'm going to give it back to God. I'm going to bring those worries to the Father, the one who loves me. I'm going to trust that he really does care about me and this situation, what I'm going through. What if every time, and you might have to do it 57 times a day, it's back again, God, here. I try to just keep doing it. What if that's what you did with that thing? Not just in general, God, I give my anxieties to you. No, God, I'm stressing about this. God, what if three more big families come to this church and we don't fit anymore? I'm going to give that worry to you, God. If you do that, what might God do? What might God do? I'll tell you what he might do. He might call you to keep waiting. He might call you to keep waiting. And I promise, I'll tell you, you can sit down in just a second. He might call you to keep waiting. Abram and Sarai, you know how much longer they had to wait?
How much longer?
Great question. 15 more years. He might call you to keep waiting. That might be what he does. He may invite you to look elsewhere. That answer that you think you need might not be what you really need. I don't know. But he might present you with another opportunity you hadn't thought about. Right? Hold your plans loosely because they may not be God's plans. Abby's roommate, it wasn't apparently what God wanted. He might invite you to look elsewhere. He might, guys, God might be waiting for you to learn to treasure him more than that thing. He might be waiting for you to learn to treasure him more than that thing through this. Remember, God doesn't ultimately want to be your treasure giver. He wants to be the treasure because he is. He really is. Genesis 15:1, God said, I am your shield and your very great reward. Have a seat. Thank you for being honest. Like you guys saw, like 2/3 and the other third like maybe didn't think of anything or maybe they will later or maybe they did and weren't willing to stand up. I tend to worry about the church. I tend to worry about my family. And God has given me some responsibility in those things, right? So to a degree, having concern and thinking about something is okay. The thing that you worry about, the thing you're waiting for, you probably have some responsibility there too. So let's just kind of wrap it up with this. Do not let go and let God abandoning responsibility. Okay? Don't let go and let God abandoning responsibility, but do let go and trust God letting go of control. Don't let go and let God abandoning responsibility, but do let go and trust God letting go of control. You see the difference? You're smart people. You can see the difference. I believe that. So what is it that you're worrying about these days? And I have next steps on the back of your program. And I just want to ask you to take the next minute to think about that specific thing, that specific worry, that specific thing you're waiting on God for. I'm gonna take some next steps. Those things that I could do, flipping the four things on their head. Like, just take a minute, you and God, if you can read that, that's great. If you can't, it's on the back of your program. But just take a minute with God, and hopefully you can take another minute after this, or maybe an hour, or maybe some time. Like, what am I going to do? There's a number of things you can do that can take you in a different direction, that can make you better inside with that thing, whether it changes or not. So I'm just going to leave you for a minute. Take a minute, you and God, and then we'll come back together. Pray together. Lord, you know us inside and out. You know that thing, those things. And God, I know you care. I know you care deeply about what matters to us. So God, help us trust you. To not try to fix it for you. Help us trust. And remind us that you do care and your plan might be different from ours. We don't always know best. So give us humility before you with those things and help us to be okay in our spirit, even if you ask us to wait longer. God, walk with us. Walk with us through the ups and downs and just strengthen our faith. That we can be a rock. Abraham and Sarah became more of a spiritual rock. But it took a while to get there. So we're on a journey too. So help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're gonna end on an old hymn that some of you know and maybe some of you don't. It's called "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Can we rise to our feet and sing this together?
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me. Need the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. So glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end.
Here we go.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Amen. Amen. He is trustable. He really is. Amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. of announcements. If you're new with us today, if you haven't been here before, we love to get to know you. And one of these ways we do that is we've got this little tear off card, little tricky card. If you fill us out, put it in, then I get to learn your name and maybe how we can serve you, how we can help you. So it's really hard to get it off, but if you take this card off, drop it in the offering box. If you got things you want us to pray about, maybe that thing you're waiting on God for, let us know. We've got a prayer team that you can say, hey, I want the prayer team to know about this. You can tell us. Don't tell the prayer team. Tell the prayer team. It's up to you. If you just want me to know, that's fine. But let us know how we can help you, how we can serve you. But that's here for if you're new, if you're not new, if there's this way you want to communicate that, like, oh, I didn't have time to talk to the person I want to talk to, whatever. But that's there, and we love to pray for you. We love to get to know you, help you get better connected here. We got some other ways to get connected. One is with home groups. If you've not been part of that yet, we've got 3 different home groups, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, meet at different places. All that information is in your program. And if you want to connect with one, maybe ask somebody who you like here, like which home group do you go to? They probably go to one, and maybe you can go to theirs. But it's just a way to connect better, to dive deeper into God's word, to connect with each other in a meaningful way. We also have something coming up, all-nighter. Reverb for the youth. This is middle school, high school, and any crazy adults who are willing to drive. Right? So we are looking for drivers to drive out to Hershey, PA for an all-nighter from like 5 p.m. until 6 a.m. the next morning. You don't have to drive back. If you drive out and you drive from place to place throughout the night until 6 a.m., you don't have to drive back. We send a group, a posse of drivers out to relieve the ones who would fall asleep. So if you would like to do this all-nighter deal, or if you're like, you know what, I can drive out in the morning. It's really early. But we are looking for more drivers and more chaperones for that. I think we're still looking for more, probably. Yeah. Tim's in charge, so raise your hand. Guy with the red hat right there. He's got an Oasis shirt on. He's the director of Oasis. And we got Oasis kids. We got Cornerstone kids. We got a bunch of kids coming to this. And we need enough adults to make sure everyone is safe and everyone gets from place to place. So think about that. If you've still got an all-nighter in you, some of you, I get it. It's okay. Don't do it if you don't have it. But if you're interested, it's coming up in November pretty soon. We also have a guy's movie night, and we're watching this movie, Nefarious. Not the type of movie I would typically watch, but it's powerful. It's about the spiritual battle that's going on in our world, and it helps us understand a little bit better about that battle. So that's coming up in a couple weeks, I guess 3 weeks. So we're going to have dinner, pizza, ice cream, just guy stuff, and watch this movie and have a conversation about it afterwards. So if you're a guy, if you're a young guy, need some parental permission. It's rated R, so it's got some intensity to it. But I'm advocating for it. I've seen it a couple times. It's okay. It's okay. It's probably good for us to understand what's going on the other side. So that's coming up. And then, as you see, we got an annual family meeting today. Some of you got the email. Like, we try to keep it to an hour. We usually do pretty good with that. But that's going to be downstairs. We're going to start in about half an hour. So right now it's like 10 after. So like at 20 till. We said 10:45, but we're a tiny bit early today, so we might start a little bit early. So if you want to stick around for that, we're going to share what has God been doing in this church, in your lives. So there's going to be sharing time. You get some updates on what God is doing in other parts of the world, what God is doing in Oasis. And we also look at our budget. You can see how our money is spent and what we're doing with that, our responsibility with what God provides. And members get to vote on that today. So that is going on, and that'll start in about half an hour. So please come. You don't have to be a member, but if you're interested in finding out more about what's going on here, you are welcome. That'll be downstairs. So that is all for the official service this morning. There's refreshments downstairs. There's snack. You can hang out here for a while. Church number 2 is going to start coming in a little while. Once they start coming in droves, then we got to go down that way or go out that way. But for now, hang out, get to know each other, and have a great day.